2017, I'm calling to order the Pappy, Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting. Please raise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A copy of the Open Meetings Act of Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairman. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion or actions. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
Bradley?
Here.
Chris Conley?
Here.
John Conley?
Here.
Butler? Grimwald?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Lady? Ezer?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Weiss?
Here.
And Chairperson?
Here. And just a little bit of housekeeping. Director Fowler has an excused absence, and Director Leahy will be just a bit late this evening. Agenda item number four, adoption of the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler? Grimwald?
Yep.
Jeff?
Yes.
Ezer?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Agenda item number five, adoption of the consent agenda.
Request for the...
I approve, so yes.
Can I make the request, or how do we want to do this? I'm going to make a request to break off the minutes from the consent agenda. So how is the best way to approach it, sir?
So do we need a motion to get on the table, then?
A motion or just a request?
Is that an official action that needs...
Clarification.
To break... So
if there's no objection, you can do it by consent, but otherwise it requires a motion.
So my motion, then, is to withdraw from the adoption of consent agreements, the approval of the minutes, and vote on them independently.
Okay. Is there a second on the motion? Did you get that?
No.
It was a motion. Go ahead, start doing it.
The motion was to break off the minutes from the consent agenda
and vote on them separately. Is that correct, Director? No. It was to break off the minutes from the rest of the consent agenda and vote on the minutes separately.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's it.
And no second yet.
Do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Director Jow.
Any discussion from directors?
I'd like to have some discussion. Why?
Yeah. Oh, excellent. I have concerns about some accuracies in the statements, in the minutes. Pretty much pertaining to the your chairman, your portion of the minutes down there where you were talking about asking for a waiver on that part of the minutes. So the chairman's report. Going back up.
Page 9.
Thank you. Page 9. There's some inaccuracies that I think need to be clarified. And ultimately, what I'm going to ask for is this to be moved to the next month's agenda because there's lots of mistakes here. One is I did not ask for the waiver. It's in my emails. There's no request for a waiver in my emails. If you read the one referenced, it is, I said my required actions under that section of that email. There is no reference to a request for a waiver. That's one. Two, Director Teaser said I made a motion, but there is no motion there. There's no formal motion made in the minutes. If you read down in here, there should have been. It doesn't exist. So that's a little bit of a procedural issue, okay? Then we go down is, and this came to the end. If you guys remember, it got a bit confusing towards the end because we had a motion from Director Leahy. Then we had another amended motion at the very end, and then it got tabled. And to me, this is a whole bunch of scrambled eggs. I need to get it cleared up, and what I'd like to do is say, take all that off the minutes, and let's just put it on the July agenda, and let's discuss it straight up there.
Any further discussion from?
And there's some other inaccuracies as well.
As far as any inaccuracies, as far as you're concerned, are you comfortable with just addressing those verbally now and having them be part of the permanent record through this meeting?
I'd like to think we ought to cover them in general, or point by point. I have no problems doing point by point because there's some statements made that I don't think were accurate.
The meeting is audio tape.
Right.
So we could refer to the audio.
Yeah, and there's some inaccuracies
to see what is here. What was said and what wasn't said.
So what I'm saying, give time, correct the inaccuracies, and let's just deal with them at the next board meeting.
Okay.
I'm just trying to give everybody maneuvering room here.
Until we review the audio, I guess we have to say there's alleged inaccuracies.
What are we maneuvering around at this point?
Just going through, because I think there were some misstatements, the requests, the address, the voting procedures. What were we voting on? No, it just didn't fall right. So,
as I understand it, it was tabled.
Yeah.
Correct. Is there any reason why we should not believe that it was not tabled according to Robert's Rules of Order?
Yeah.
I checked with legal counsel. It was tabled.
It's tabled. I think the issue here, though, is the accuracy.
Right.
Wasn't there a motion to be voted on at the time?
And it was tabled.
It was tabled.
Yeah. Well,
so you can table it.
The motion to table has precedent.
Yes.
Right. Over a base motion. And so if there's a motion to table, the vote is on it, and then everything else dies.
Right. Bang. And do you feel that the minutes are inaccurate or the statements in the minutes are inaccurate?
The statements within the minutes.
But the minutes are accurate.
Well, certainly. Once there's a motion to table, the statements are inaccurate.
Well, it's one thing if staff didn't record the minutes correctly. It's another thing if somebody just said something that was not accurate. I mean, it happens.
Well, there's two points. One is a statement that I request a waiver that is inaccurate. And then there's the address that's inaccurate. And then this whole procedure thing. I thought, and correct me here, when the motion was made and seconded towards the amendments, remember it was Patrick Leahy's statement and then he made an amendment that was motion and seconded. That meant it was active, and that needed to clear before the table.
No. The motion table has precedent over anything.
Right.
It's
at any time?
Yeah. Any time.
I thought it had to clear.
No.
So
that's correct.
Let's go on to your question.
Director Thompson.
Director Grunewald, you said there are some inaccuracies, and you just said that the address is inaccurate? Just now you said that?
It's not what I gave you guys.
Pardon?
That is not what my statement was.
No, just now you said there's other inaccuracies like the address.
That address is not accurate.
So why did you state that address?
I did state it. Don't listen to the tape.
Well, there was an address given that was checked against the records, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the address that was in.
We can listen
so
to
if you want to correct an inaccuracy, then if this number, 49.57 South 149th, what should it be? And that's what you want.
Well, that's accurate as far as it goes.
Pardon?
That is, it's court, not street.
Jeannie Jones.
Okay, court. So that simple inaccuracy you would like corrected?
It needs to be corrected. It is. Well, I've gone through stuff.
All right, so instead of street, it should be court.
Okay.
Right? Is that right?
But my concern is some other statements here where you're saying, hey, I asked for things, I did not.
Okay.
And
what other inaccuracy would you want me to respond to here as a voting member?
I know that, the first one is where the statement was made that I had asked for a waiver. I did not.
A waiver of what?
A waiver of how?
It was a policy. No, so Director Leahy made a motion.
I never asked for a policy waiver. Right.
Oh, well, that's right. What it has to be. That's Director Leahy made a motion to waive the policy.
Hold on. We've agreed that the minutes are correct as recorded. The statements in the minutes may not be let's stick with that and see. Let's have some further discussion if it's necessary and vote on the substitute motion. Any other comments on the amended motion to separate the minutes?
Well, no, I still don't understand what you're separating. So I can't.
He wants to vote on the minutes separately
from the other consent items.
Well,
so then there would have to be a motion to accept the minutes on its own merit.
Okay, what's the other?
Is it minutes that correct?
Okay.
Because you can remove them, then you have to vote on them. You have to approve them.
Right, one and then the other.
So any further discussion on
removing the minutes to be voted on separately?
Minutes, that's the only concern. Approval of minutes is the only thing on the consent agenda.
I think there is.
It's the it's double starred. The only other one that's on there is the excused absences.
It seems to be
a redundant thing here. This adoption, the consent agenda. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning.
Any further comments from directors?
Hold on just a second. So what are we voting on?
We're voting on removing the minutes from the consent agenda and voting on the minutes separately.
And there's only two things on the consent agenda, the excused absences and the minutes.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. We'll call on the motion, please.
Don Conway?
No.
Brenwald?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Caesar?
No.
Thompson?
No.
Weiss?
No.
Fred Conley?
No.
Bradley?
No.
Winter?
No. We're back to the original
motion. The consent agenda.
Adoption of the consent agenda.
I've got several questions.
Can we get a motion on the floor?
Oh.
Then we'll jump into questions.
Okay.
So I'll move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second.
John Conley, Fred Conley.
How many inaccuracies are in the minutes? Is what I'm.
It would seem that the minutes were recorded correctly. It's the statements in the minutes that he has an issue with.
But he says it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were statements by somebody else.
Yeah. The minutes reflected those statements, but maybe those statements weren't accurate. So the minutes are accurate, but the statements might not be.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Which falls to the director or whoever made those statements.
Whoever made those statements.
And my goal is just to get it put into the July meeting so we could get it straightened out.
So,
that doesn't mean that they didn't say them. I mean,
they
never said
them. I'm putting it out there so we can have the discussion. Now, whether this is the proper form or later, okay. That's fine.
So what would the agenda item be in July that you're requesting?
Just take the director's chairman's report. Just take that whole section above the GM report, the motion for the waiver, and just move it to July.
So you're the same agenda item, but only in July.
It's whatever you guys want to say.
But so now that's a waiver. So are you requesting a waiver?
I am not requesting a waiver. It came from Director Teasers.
What would the board be approving or resolving at that point in time? If we move it to the agenda for July, what would the board be approving or resolving?
That's a point of discussion, and maybe that's something we have Tuesday before.
But if there's nothing to resolve or approve, why would the board deal with it?
Because it comes down to I've asked for a payment. It's as simple as that.
I'd ask Director Grunewald if he has provided the necessary IRS withholding forms and a bank account for direct deposit of per diem and expenses yet. He, up until the last time I heard was a month ago, and at that time he had not. Have you provided that to the NRD since?
Since I don't believe they're necessary, the answer is no. I'm sorry. He asked me if I signed the W-4s and the direct deposit.
Yes.
And I said no.
I mean, the only way to get to that, what Director Grunewald was trying to resolve, the only process is a waiver. I mean, so even if you request it or not, that is the only process in front of us to be able to do that.
So do you want the board to vote on a waiver for your...
It's not my decision. I just said, pay me my money. That's where I'm at.
Well, that's what I'm asking for July. Do you want the board to vote on a motion to approve a waiver for you?
You guys have to make decisions. I have asked for payment.
You have to give us something to make a decision on if you want to bring it to the board.
I just said two things. Pay me my money.
So the resolution will be pay me my money.
My original motion was.
You have to
table motions, Mr. Chairman. We can't just.
We should have a discussion.
Fair enough.
The motion's been tabled.
This is what I'm saying. Let's just talk about it come July.
We'd have to pull it off the table just to discuss it.
I think
we've spent enough time on this. Unless Rick, excuse you, have one more comment.
I was going to table this discussion.
All right. Roll call on the motion, please. On the original agenda five.
Yes. John Conley.
Yes.
Grenwald.
I'm going to have to say no.
Jack.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
And Sharper.
Yes. Moving right along to I have a proof of publication of the meeting that's will become a part of the permanent record for this evening's meeting. Agenda item number 8, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, Natural Resource Conservation Service report. Neil Jensen. Good evening, Neil.
Good evening. Mostly all I'm going to talk about is just kind of what's been going on in the last month with our offices. We've been pretty busy. Part of that has been writing EQIP contracts. We've got 20 of them, applications that we have now obligated into contracts for about $300,000. We've got about another 7 that a lot of them are written. We're just trying to get signatures and a couple of them, some minor, we need a range grazing plan on one of them, and so getting pretty close to done. I have asked for an additional $200,000 to be able, we've got about 11, 12 applications that I would like to get funded. I have not heard yet that I'm getting any additional funding, but if anything comes open, just letting them know that I want it. Conservation Stewardship Program, we're also right now working with about 9 applications and getting those to the point of being able to approve those for contracts. We're dealing right now with some kind of computer glitches and being able to get the ranking done, but that's going to be real competitive this year from the sounds of it. It sounded like with all the applications we've got across the state that probably only the top third, so we are looking at the best third being approved. So I don't know out of our 9 how many will actually get funded then. Conservation Reserve Program, FSA has informed us they've got some more money, so we've got some more contracts to write, and these have to be done by July 14th, which not a great timing with everything else that we've got going on, and probably the biggest thing is our conservation compliance. I talked a lot about that last month. We've been out in the fields. We've got most of the field work completed, other than we've got a couple of fields where they've not planted soybeans yet, so we can't measure residue until those soybeans get planted. But as you can see in the pictures, too, we're finding a few ephemeral gullies out there that are going to need to be treated, and so we'll be working with those producers and coming up with some alternatives on how to treat those gullies in the field. The paperwork that goes involved with that takes about as long as it does to go out and actually do the field reviews. So it just got a lot going on, a lot on our plates here this month and into next month. The last thing I want to talk about, Lauren Ehlers, he is our resource conservationist in Takema. He has accepted a position in Iowa. And tomorrow is his last day, so there's another position that we're going to have to fill. The good thing is my boss has said, yeah, we're going to try to get that filled as soon as we can. Now, there is no freeze on hiring, but at the same time, they're being very selective in the positions they're filling because right now, with the budget request that Trump has submitted, there's a 20-21% reduction in USDA. So they're not looking at hiring a lot of people if Congress decides that that's the reduction that they want to give USDA. So they don't want to build up staff and then have to turn around and get rid of staff. So, but that is a position that they've realized that needs to be filled. So that's good. Any questions?
Director Bradley.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, how much is that position? That the one that the one person is resigning from this one and then going to Iowa, and how much starting wage for that position? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I don't. Okay. I don't know.
Do you feel that the positions that you command, are they being paid enough? I know it's
this was a promotion that this person took, so I can't argue with on these resource cons and DC positions. The salary is certainly adequate.
Okay. I know it's a loaded question. We're never paid enough, but I'm going to make
sure. Yeah. The more you pay, the more toys you buy, and so you're always looking to buy more.
All right. Thanks.
Director Johnson.
Question for Mr. Winkler. Is this the point to bring up the item about the increased conservation assistance checks?
If you want.
I'm happy to see it, but we had a tremendous increase in the number of conservation assistance checks that went through the system this month. And last month, we increased our budget amount by $100,000+, and we were able to allocate apparently quite a bit of it. And I'd just like John to give us a little progress report on that as part of our field work.
We always have applications sitting around. We always have way more demand than there are funds, and Neil knows this as well as anybody. But we've got a very talented field staff, so they have a lot of these things already queued up. A lot of the projects that people are requesting for funding, any of the additional funds they get, they authorize them and they inspect them and they plan them very, very efficiently. So all that extra money that was allocated by the board has in fact been used. And Terry gave me some statistics today. I think just in Washington County, there was 90 applications sitting there for next year, over $1 million, just in one county. So there's a huge need, and obviously, we try to get to that, up to those points as efficiently as we can. But there definitely is people waiting. So
thank you.
And I do appreciate, what we do with NRCS and NRD funding, how we work together on that. It's a benefit for us, where you guys have added additional dollars on top of our EQIP contract. But what that does for your cap funds, instead of maybe paying 75% of the project, you're only paying for 40% of the project out of your money. The rest of that funds is then coming from NRCS. So I know we had a meeting earlier here a couple months ago, and a couple of the NRDs were saying they were having a hard time utilizing all of the NRCS funds. And so I think that that working relation that we have between this NRD and our office is what gets our funds used completely and to use the funds that they don't use.
You keep taking those too.
Yeah.
Any other questions from directors?
Thank you, Neil.
Okay. Moving on to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD board is going to meet up at North Fork for the Northeast Nebraska NRD tour, Basin Tour, this coming Monday and Tuesday. And I understand we have one individual. I think Marlon, you're taking the trip?
Yes.
Okay, and you're probably going to be a speaker, I presume.
Yes.
And, after 20-some years of doing this, to go through the Papio district doesn't really took my trail. So I'm going to pass on that one. Another issue came up. I want the board to understand that there's a thing called the Envirothon. In 2020, the NARD wanted to host the National Envirothon. This is going to encompass bringing in 500 kids from all across every state in America, and 150 sponsors, and even two teams from China. The cost to the district, $400,000. And that was bad enough, and then they were going to look at it. We have the 23 districts. There were two proposals. One, the overlay paid the same amount, and then the other is the way our dues are set. The Papillon RD pays more dues than any other district in the state. We pay 9.2% of that budget. And so our original cost was going to be around $38,000, $39,000. And I'm upset because there was never a motion brought to the full board of the NARD to accept the obligation of paying for this, obligating all the districts. In fact, the only real motion was Sunday, June 12, 2016, where the executive committee of the NARD voted unanimously to support the bringing on the 2020 Envirothon. But there was, you have the committee recommendation, it should go to the full board. It did not go to the full board. For that reason, this coming week, I am going to vote to oppose it. It's still going to pass. But I personally am going to oppose it based off the fact that the NARD did not follow Robert's rules. And there's a quick story there. For 43 years, the NARD ran without Robert's rules. 2 years ago, they got in a jam, and they came to me, how are we going to get out of this? We had a state meeting in Kearney. And I said, well, one way would be to adopt Robert's rules. The next meeting, we adopted Robert's rules. But now they don't want us to play by Robert's rules. They like to do things kind of in a Western Nebraska, good old boy way. And I'm a firm believer in Robert's rules, but so I want this board to know that I will be voting no, it will still pass. And in talking to General Manager Winkler, he has apparently had some conversations with Dean Edson, telling Dean that we will back it up to $8,000 per year for 2 years, so $16,000 rather than a potential $39,000. I think, John, you were indicating that possibly we could fundraise and get some sponsors locally to help pick up that
difference.
And but I just want the board to be aware of my intention based off the fact that they don't follow protocol. I think they need to be taught a lesson. And so that concludes my report, unless there's some questions.
Thank you, Director Conley.
I didn't understand what you said, Rich, about the percentage of the total cost of that that's allocated to
our... It's based off of our annual fees, which we pay 9.2%.
Just under 10%. Okay,
10% of the NARD budget.
Okay, thank you.
And so we're paying 10%. We got some NRDs out there paying 2%. It's pretty substantial.
Director Leahy. Yeah, speaking of Robert's rules, I think we've got to say for the minutes, for the record, that
you're at the meeting now.
Yeah. I'm at the meeting now. Yeah. Please let the record show. Director Leahy. Thank you, Director Leahy. Director Thompson.
I appreciate your input, Ms. Director Teaser, and I think it's pretty cool that we can get worldwide folks coming to Nebraska to show what we do, but the majority is nationwide. And when we go to the National Conservation District meetings, we always profess how far ahead we are. It's going to be reversed this time, where they're going to come and see really how far ahead we are. So I'm endorsing the Envirothon being here,
and what future that can bring to other folks, these folks, to other states, I think it's well worth the investment. We saved $15,000 by not putting in a stupid trail counter, so maybe we could offset $16,000. So anyway, and I appreciate you over time. It's not 1 year. So
if my vote was a vote that was going to make it or break it, I would vote in favor of it. But this is just a vote to let them know that hey, follow the rules.
And I would second that position too. So thank you.
Any other comments from directors? Thank you, Director Teaser.
Thank you.
I'm moving on to AC Legislative Report. Hodge Blackwell.
Tim Gay with Hodge Blackwell. Ron Sidlacci with Hodge Blackwell. Ron's handing out a nice report put together for you to take a look at.
Tim, would you use the mic, please?
Yeah. And Ron's handing out a report that he put together for you, and it's very well done. It's a comprehensive study of what happened in the legislature to you. Over 6 months, a lot of things happened. So we put that together, and then I'll let him introduce that real quick.
Thank you, Tim. And for the record, again, Ron Sidlacek. I'm with the Hush Blackwell office in Lincoln, Nebraska, and registered lobbyist for Hush Blackwell, and served with Tim to help educate members of the legislature over concerns that and issues that that face the Papua New Missouri River NRD. The legislative session, it's old news now, of course, that they have adjourned, and they did adjourn on the 86th legislative day, which was 4 days early. It should have been June 2nd. According to the tentative legislative calendar, but they got pretty much all the business completed and felt that it was probably about time to go home and relax a little bit and dust off all, and I guess heal up some wounds during this legislative session. At any rate, this is typically, it's called the 90-day session. At least that's what's constitutionally limited. The next session is the second session of this legislature, and that is limited to 60 legislative days, and that's scheduled to convene on June 3rd of 2018. So we have a little bit of interim time for studies and to look at legislative issues and budget issues, and that's, of course, barring that there is no special session. Hopefully there is none, because that would probably mean that the revenue shortfall continues. This year, we had over 670 legislative bills or proposed constitutional amendments introduced, and out of them, 170 were passed by the legislature, but elements of a number of other bills, 72 additional bills, were included within those bills that passed and were sent to the governor. Now, those bills that did pass are generally going to be effective 3 months after the legislature adjourned, which would mean August 24th. However, if it has another operative date in the bill or there's an emergency clause in part of the bill or all of the bill, then that would take effect the day after the governor signed it. So any bill that wasn't killed this year or was not enacted does carry over to the next session, and then we'll have those to contend with, as well as probably an additional maybe 600 or more new introduced bills. This year we had... due to term limits, essentially, but also election results, we had a record number of senators who have first-year legislative experience or two sessions or less of experience. And there's been quite a change in legislative leadership, some surprises, and there's a big learning curve for a number of those senators. And so that's so important, and Tim will talk about that a little bit later, as to educating our representatives on our issues. What I'd like to do is just briefly, I'm not going to go through this whole, I'm going to make the report fairly brief, but just to let you know what's in it. Divided into essentially three areas, and then also interim study resolutions that they're going to be working on during the summer months. The first area is budget, and that deals essentially with those natural resource issues that might be of interest. And then We go into governance issues, and just call your attention to a couple of bills, LB 151E, and that's on page 5. That incorporated essentially 3 additional bills, and each of those would, in one way or the other, affect operations here. Not significantly, but it's something worth knowing about, and obviously legal counsel will review those and let you know what's going on in that regard. A second bill enacted is on the following page, on top of page 6, LB 432, dealing with delinquent taxes and anticipated litigation issues. On page 7, we have the natural resources issues. In passing, just wanted to mention a couple of things. We have 2 bills that deal with essentially dams or reservoirs. LB 154 and then 154 and 176. Those are both enacted into law. And LB 182 dealing with the Nebraska Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Act. 2 other bills I might mention are 2 bills that did not pass. On top of page 7, this is Senator Kurt Friesen's bill that was designated as a speaker priority. And what it would do would be to extend the 3-cent levy authority for NRDs. That was extensively debated. What I wanted to call your attention to is during that debate, the specific authority for the Papua Missouri NRD and its bonding allowance legislation was mentioned a number of times, mostly positive, but there were some negative comments as well, but as to whether it should be extended throughout the state. There was discussion in that regard, and there was discussion as to extending the sunset date on the bonding authority for this NRD. So they said they would probably be reintroducing that legislation during the next legislative session. So that's more of a heads up for you all that might be coming. The other legislative bill that I wanted to mention is LB 390, and that's the bill found on the bottom of page 8. That was introduced by Senator Joni Albright, and what it would essentially do would remove the word exclusive from the language dealing with the county zoning jurisdictions when it comes to bonding authority and approval. Right now, the current law says that it must be within the county's exclusive zoning jurisdiction. And that jurisdiction is essentially given over to other zoning jurisdictions by consent of the county, normally. They forfeit that right, and that's under state law. But this would remove the word exclusive, so then the counties could actually then renege on that, and you would have an issue of both a municipality of some sort or other entity and the county county's necessity for approval. And then finally, on the last 2 pages are interim study resolutions of interest, and they deal just with the whole gamut of anything dealing with natural resources. Nothing specific at this point that I can call your attention to. However, there's always one resolution worthy of following, particularly, and that's in the Natural Resources Committee, and that's LR 159, and that's a study anything under the jurisdiction of that committee. And certainly NRDs, our NRD is part of that. And also, I guess I should call your attention to LR 4 on the second page toward the bottom on water quality. And Senator Carol Blood wonders if we should be studying a more comprehensive water sustainability. So with that, that's my portion of the presentation. Tim, once again, a couple other specifics as well.
All right. Well, yeah, so obviously over the 6 months, Ron just touched on many of the bills we're following that we don't bring to you every single month because they go on and on. But hey, at the first of the year, we told you the budget is going to be the key this year. And we're watching the water sustainability's funding because it had your WP 6 and 7 in there, that funding, $6.7 million. Well, anyway, sure enough, we're pretty proud. We survived 4 budget cuts, and you didn't get cut anything. So that's pretty good. The first cut was when they had to redo the budget for last year at LB22. Redid that, came back with the actual budget, the governor's recommended budget. They didn't make cuts in that. Had to then come back a third time for the $55 million, right when we think we're out of the woods. Oh, by the way, the forecast came out. You got to cut another $55 million after already these cuts. And then the fourth one was actually the governor had recommended to cut in future years $5 million of each year going forward. That didn't happen either. So the one thing that they did cut was in the Water Sustainability Fund, there's interest that you earn about $127,000 a month on that amount of money. Well, it was $1.2 million. They did sweep that out, but really it's no big deal because you couldn't have spent that anyway because in the law, you can't roll that money back in. So, oh well. So at the end of the day, the Water Sustainability Fund survived. It did get a 4%, like everybody else, budget cut for the next 2 years, but overall in very good shape. The reason for that is when we're down there, John came down several times, many times, And we talked to everybody, especially at crunch time. This is towards the end when you don't know what's going to be cut. Anything could be cut. So we talked to all the members of Natural Resources, all the senators on the Natural Resources Committee, which would be Chairman Hughes, Senator Bosselman, Quick, McAllister, Kalowski, Albright, Geist, and Walz. Every single one of them was a sit-down meeting in their office discussing the importance of why you don't want to cut existing funds in the Water Sustainability Fund and the impact it would have, especially downstream to the base and everything else. We also followed up with every Appropriations Committee member, including Senator Watermeyer, who, of course, is a good advocate, Senator Watermeyer, Senator McDonnell, Stinner, Bowles, Wishart, Clements, Vargas, and Hilkeman. So those were all key people to make darn sure that they understand what's in that budget. Of course, it was us and 200 other people asking to keep their money in there. And so we're pretty proud of working together with John to do that on your behalf. I think we did a good job. And to top it off, we had personal meetings with the governor's policy research office, the head policy person, Lauren Kittner, and the chief of staff directly with text involved as well. So we're covered pretty good. So anyway, we're very proud of that. But anyway, excuse me, we didn't stress, like I say, the importance of the existing projects. One thing I know, Director Teaser, this riparian task force, it did take a hit of about 50%. It's $1 million a year that's put in there, and they cut it down to about $475,000. Now, I did talk to the fiscal analyst whether they're going to put that back in at $1 million or what they're going to do. That will be up to your committee to try to figure it out and try to get that back in there. But that did take a cut, and I think I suppose you'll be deciding, you know, what can we do with half of our funding? Is it worth it? So anyway, that was our, like I said, at the beginning of the year, we thought that was going to be the biggest issue. It certainly was at the end of the year as well, the biggest issue. So as Ron says, we've got a lot of those things happen because we're educating senators on what you do. Again, this summer, our game plan is this summer into fall. Try to get these senators when they're not so busy to go to a breakfast or a lunch or a coffee, whatever we can take. And usually we go out, John and I, and say, here's what we do from square one. And it makes a big difference, and especially when we have about 18 senators. Oh, actually, more than that. How many is there, 22?
Probably 36.
No, but in this district. It's about 22 to 23 senators that go up and down your district. So anyway, a big job, but with the term limits, a lot of advocacy. And I hate to say it, but there's already people out there putting their name in to run for legislature. It's awesome. Like four names already. I won't get into that. So anyway, a busy year, productive year, I thought, on your behalf. And that's it for me. Do you have anything else or any questions you might have?
Thank you, questions.
Thank you all.
Ron, you said they were going to delay the sunset on LB98 on the bonding authority.
There's a possibility that there'll be. It sounds like there was at that time during the debate that there may be legislation that would address that issue. I don't know specifics as to if it would extend it a year, 2 years, 3 years, or anything like that. No idea.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need.
Any further questions from directors?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, John.
Moving on to subcommittee reports, 9A, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the June 6, 2017 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, an interlocal agreement with Waterloo Volunteer Fire Department. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with the Waterloo Volunteer Fire Department in an amount not to exceed $30,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and its approval as conformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
I'm going to pass.
Jeff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keeper?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Reese?
Yes.
Fred?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Johnson?
Yes.
Grenwald?
Instead of staying.
Yes.
Okay, the next item is an interlocal agreement with Washington County Township Number 1 for the relocation of a 6-inch water main. Subcommittee recommends that GM be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with Township 1, Washington County, Nebraska, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as deformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Jeff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keeser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Reese?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes.
Grenwald?
Yes.
Insure?
Yes.
Next item. It's a bicycle and pedestrian counter and proposed interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha. This item did not pass in subcommittee, but I understand there's going to be a motion to put it on the table.
Mr. Chair, can I make a motion to put this agenda item back in front of the full board?
All right, so are you making a motion?
Yes.
All right.
Second.
All right, we have a second on the motion to bring this back to the full board.
It's a reconsideration motion only. You need to have pass another motion.
Yeah.
To change it.
So do we need to approve the reconsideration?
Right, yes. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Well, we can discuss the reconsideration first, right, because we have a second, so it's on the... No, you have to vote to reconsider it, right. And then discuss after that, if it passes.
So roll call on the motion to reconsider agenda item 3.
So we can just discuss it.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Chris.
Hi.
No.
Grenwald?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keeser?
No.
Thompson?
No.
Please.
Yes.
One down, one to go.
Okay.
So it's a vote. Report the vote, please.
Yay.
Now, do you need a motion to take action before discussion?
Before the board for discussion.
Okay.
Director Leahy, then I'll give you.
First of all, thank you for everyone who just voted just to get the discussion going. I think it was, I saw this agenda item up there, and at first I thought, another study. Do we need one of these? But then I thought, this is probably just going to pass without any hoopla. And when I saw that it failed and I went back and I listened to the podcast, I was a little bit surprised that it never even got to discussion for people to air why they didn't like it, and then for it to be voted down like it should have if people were in disagreement. So I don't know why people didn't support it, because there was no discussion on it. But I think I may know why, being as some comments that we heard even earlier at today's meeting, people thinking that this is a stupid bicycle pedestrian counter. But to bring a counterpoint to that, especially for a lot of the newer board members, a lot of studies come up in front of this board. And I used to be one of those folks who said, why do we need another study that's going to tell us
either something we already know or it's not going to affect what action we take. And some of those studies cost upwards of $300,000. And those studies are for water quality issues or water quantity issues, which are very important to public health and to our mission. But really, I see this study as just something else like that, where those studies help us focus and prioritize which projects we should accomplish first, that this study can help us identify which bike trail projects we should take on first. I know when I go out to meet with a lot of constituents, yeah, there's a lot of folks who are supportive of the bike trails, but I certainly have constituents, like I'm sure all of you do, that don't understand why we spend so much on bike trails. I think having a measure of an effectiveness would help the NRD push back and say, this is why we do the bike trails, because we have hard numbers that support the number of people who use them. If you don't have the counts, then really all you're just doing is sort of saying, yeah, I think people use them because I see people using them. But that can get you in trouble. I remember the debate around the Bob Carey Bridge a while back, and after that was built, people called it a bridge to nowhere. And I remember sitting through a presentation from a bike and pedestrian count done by UNO that said, that's absolutely false. More people use this bridge than they even expected, to the point where they're thinking maybe we should have built the bridge bigger. And now they're using that study and those pedestrian and bike counts to push the city of Omaha and maybe even eventually this NRD to be a part of another bridge project, the Baby Bob is what they're calling it, in North Downtown. Same thing with MAPA. They do ridership counts all the time. Because if you don't do them, how do you know if what you're doing is working? For example, if we start to see, hey, trails out in this part of the our district only get 5 or 6 people on a month or whatever the case may be, then why, if we get a project proposed to us, would we extend that trail up? You know, maybe it's better to focus our priorities on projects where we have 120 or 100 to 200 people going per month, where maybe some additional bike trail branches would be of some help. In addition, I know this board has heard me rail on how we spend our information and education campaign dollars with the radio and TV broadcasts about just what the NRD does. What if we took some of that money, instead of telling people what the NRD is and what we do, which I don't think really does much of anything, we put that money into educating people about where trail openings and trail heads are. And if we have the counters out there, then we can determine, hey, did that public information campaign make a difference? Did it increase the number of users on the trail? And if we increase the number of users on the trail, then you have more people, A, taking advantage of them, but who will know what the NRD does. So for $15,000, it sounds like we're going to save $15,000 by getting a couple of sponsors for this NARD.
Yeah, I already deal.
So I'm glad to hear that, and we're saving $15,000 today, because I think that for $15,000, we can spend the money to partner with the city, one of our better partners sometimes, and get some good information that will help us prioritize future budgets so we don't make any kind of large trail project mistakes. So that's my piece for now.
Director Jaff, and we'll get Teaser, Thompson, and Bradley.
That was a very eloquent dissertation, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. However, are we the only ones that do trails? I mean, who else does trails? I mean, why are we paying for this, and why isn't somebody else paying for it?
Well, we partner on quite a few. We do probably the majority of the trails. But obviously, some communities and cities and villages do trail systems as well. Dr. Kuser.
Josh Leahy, just from my experience, I was on this board when we passed the very first trail, and I had to go up to Minneapolis to look at a trail up there to see if it was really being used. And I got the shock of my life because it was being used when it was 12 below out.
That's
so I came back and I supported trail construction in the Omaha or in our NRD. The fact of the matter is, this NRD has always been pro-trail. There's never been a time that we've really badmouthed it. And for the last 10 years, I've been trying to get a trail built in Western Douglas County between Valley and Waterloo, and then it would go up to Fremont. And you're talking about trails that may do 100 a month. On a weekend, we're doing several hundred per day just between Valley and Waterloo. And I'm still, and we're battling with the Nebraska Department of Roads and to get right-of-ways and with UP Railroad. But to me, that $15,000 could be applied to the Western Douglas County Trail or Jim's pet project in Central Omaha or whatever. You got them all over the place. To me, there's not a problem with supportive trails. This board has always been supportive of trails. I said no.
George Thompson.
Thank you, Sharon. Had you been here Tuesday, you would have gotten information on the specific reconsideration you've offered. First of all, it's not a study, and I kind of agree to some degree of what studies do and what studies don't do and all that. A simple resolution is give the city of Omaha $15,000 for a counter. It had nothing to do with studies. It had nothing to do with how many people could use an area for a trail. So I applaud you for thinking about that, because we're always thinking about that. And with Director Teaser's last statement, we're going to put them in where we can. Normally, the way the creeks run, that's how it all started. And now we're going as a transportation element as trails. But this was for a counter. This is count the number of bicycle tires that go over a certain spot. And probably infrared, I think it was, to count the people that walk by instead of stepping on a counter somehow. City already put three of these in. They want two more. They want $15,000 from us. The gentleman that represented the city had a nice bar graph on, or a nice chart on the screen, and by golly, he even emphasized that when it was raining out, no one used the trail. And the counter showed zero use on that particular trail. I kept myself from bursting out, because what does the counter do? It says people use the trails. Then what? Didn't have a chance to ask that because it didn't make the cut. Now it's making the cut, and I'm still going to ask. Then what happens? You found out 400 people use the trail on a particular day. We are trail champions. The city is, except they don't maintain them. The other surprising thing, this came from the planning department. We give the trails to the city of Omaha when they're done. There are other jurisdictions, Ted, to answer your question, the trails are built throughout the district. Some we maintain, like ours, some South Sioux City, for example, they maintain them. So this is, gosh, I hope they don't ask for a counter up there. We'll be making some salesman rich from this commission. But this simply to count the number of people, that decision to know how many people, I can't envision that data being useful at all. Therefore, I would not want to waste our $15,000. I don't know how the city got going on that as far as their approval. It was probably under the radar. But just to show that we counted people, that's like, yeah, they do traffic studies to find out how many cars pass an intersection. Should we put a stoplight up or keep a stop sign? Those kind of things have some validity. But to say that, you know, so many carriages with the infants pass a trail, I don't see it. I can't support it.
Mr. Bradley. Right, Director Bradley, then we'll get Director Conley and Director Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if there were counters in, if we put in 15,000, then we get the data as a partner. And if we have, it shows X amount of people using that trail and seasonal so forth, would that be able to help me, to help the people in my district that want to see a trail at Lake Cunningham? because I see one of the places they want to put the counter is down, you know, along Keystone Trail, and it's one of the main arteries or the stream would lead right up into Lake Cunningham. So I'm sort of rethinking of maybe, you know, voting to approve Director Leahy's motion. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Director Bradley, first comment.
I've got a question for management. Is this a one-time contribution, or are there expectations of future?
It was a one-time contribution, and all the operation maintenance was to be the city's responsibility.
Thank you.
According to the interloper. Rich Fred, comment.
I want Eric to come forward. Is there some additional information on this issue?
I spoke with Stephen Osberg yesterday to follow up about the item from Tuesday night. He did provide some additional information, which I have, and I can pass out a copy if you would like to take a look.
Would you go through it? Could you briefly talk about it?
I'm sorry?
Could you briefly talk about the additional?
Yes. So there have been a couple questions about the reasoning to use traffic counts. From an engineering perspective on a roadway design, the traffic count is the first step to understanding how the infrastructure is being used and what additional changes, improvements, or maintenance are going to be needed in different areas. The same is true with a trail, bicycle, and pedestrian counter. So the cover sheet kind of summarizes some of the background information about use of traffic counts from a roadway perspective. There are a variety of different choices that can be made from different trail design and construction for different projects. Trail width, surface type, which type of use, is it going to be dedicated or a shared use trail, trail on one side or the other of the creek, loops around places like Cunningham or Levi Carter, they're considering a loop but it won't close all the way. Those are all choices that are made based on what the anticipated use type is for the trail. From there, moving forward, what types of maintenance might be needed? Currently, the City of Omaha is considering extending the Big Papio Trail under Maple Street and tying into 120th and over to Tranquility Park. The Big Papio Trail is on the former landfill site and is in very bad condition, but there's not really any certainty about how far people ride on the trail and how many people might continue under Maple Street over to Tranquility and further north. So they don't really have enough information to justify when they would prioritize that type of a project. The city is also considering removing, replacing, and upgrading the trail around Lake Zirinsky, which is an asphalt surface at about 10 feet wide. They're planning to upgrade that to concrete and potentially upgrading from 10 to 12 feet, but there's no actual information that would justify an increased width of trail in that location because no one really has any information about how many people actually use it other than, quote, it's very busy, and people continually come here and say, I would go to Zirinsky, but it's so busy that I prefer to come to Chaco because there are less people here. Stephen did provide some additional resources on the second page. Uses of bike ped counters. Number four is probably the most important from our consideration, the prioritization of what projects we would be constructing. There's a number of different projects that we might consider building with local partners in the future, and we don't currently have a hierarchy of how we decide which project should be prioritized. Should a trail around Cunningham be constructed? Should we continue Keystone Trail up to Cunningham? Should we work with the city to extend Big Papio to Tranquility? Should West Papio be connected all the way to Dam Site 15A? Which of those is the priority? Which of those should we list in the upcoming budget for design construction? And how hard should we push with partners to get those completed? There's a few case studies of trail use data being implemented in improving and extending trails in other locations. The first one is from Sioux Falls. They use their trail count data to determine the width of trails, just like we were considering at Zirinsky. And their planner indicates, quote, we size a trail a lot wider when they have data about the number of expected users on their trail. The other information is from the state of Minnesota. There are two specific uses. They use trail data to determine that the trail is actually the preferred connection between two places rather than the road. Formerly, it had been a road access and with stop signs on the trail. They then inverted that, removed the stop signs on the trail, put stop signs on the road to allow the trail users to have priority, and that was based entirely on the fact that the trail had more traffic than the road did, so the preferred transportation use type was on the trail, and it was signed in the opposite direction, giving priority to the less preferred use, the car. The last one is what's called a hawk beacon. It's a signal that helps to helps to identify a crossing. It's three lights. It is not active unless a trail user pushes the button, at which time it flashes and then turns red. We have one of those implemented in Omaha now at 50th Street near F on the South Omaha Trail. During South Omaha Trail Phase 2 construction, it was proposed to include a second hawk beacon at 36th Street, where the trail crosses the very busy roadway with roughly 45 mile per hour traffic. Public Works did not feel that a hawk beacon was justified in that location, and that's because they didn't know how many people would be using the trail there. So they removed the beacon, and there has been some concern already, even after the trail just opened, that it may be an unsafe condition for bicycle and pedestrian users of the trail. But there's no way to verify how many people cross 36th Street on any particular day. Almost certainly it's more than the number of cars that cross 36th Street, just like the previous study indicated, but again, there's no way to tell that for sure because no one knows how many trail users there are. So this data is very similar to the types of information we would collect and the types of outcomes that we would use the data to help justify and reinforce in our own trail construction, operations, and maintenance.
Thanks, Eric. While you're here real quick, then we'll jump to you, please. The city already has some counters, is that correct?
Yeah, they have two installed right now. Our agreement was to help them in the purchase of additional hardware. So if we contribute, they would then purchase three additional counters and place them on the three main branch trails.
Can you just get a statistically valid sample of where they're at now and then just move those counters to the other places of concern?
They could. They are going to be purchasing one mobile setup, but the hardware is mounted physically in the concrete. It's on a post on the side for the pedestrian counter and an inductive loop physically buried in the concrete for the bicycle counter. So there is a mobile setup, kind of like a rumble strip that you use for cars. It's not quite as reliable and is open to the potential for damage because it's accessible to the users. So they would prefer to have permanent hardware. The $15,000 is to install three counters, not just one, and it is just that one-time cost.
Director Weiss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tuesday, I kind of thought it was kind of a crazy waste of money, but after thinking it through and listening to the conversations, it might be the cheapest thing that we do because what better way to know which trail do we want to spend money on if they're being used or not? Now, these meters can be moved, correct?
One of them will be mobile. I think the total number is seven or possibly eight. I'd have to talk with Stephen about that. But let's say seven, six of them would be fixed at locations where we know there are events and there are varying use types, like the Bob Carey Pedestrian Bridge, which is already installed, the Field Club Trail connecting to South Omaha, which is installed, and then I think four additional would be permanently installed in the ground, plus one mobile for to take two events.
I would like to see maybe another mobile or two because I don't know how many trails we have total. But, for example, if we're sitting here trying to decide how much money we want to spend on a trail, what better way to know how much we want to spend if there's a lot of traffic on it? That's a good way to decide how much and where do we spend our money. So if you look at it this way, $14,000, $15,000 might be relatively cheap for what we would be willing to spend down the road for trail.
With regards to the mobile units, the interlocal specifies that we get to choose where they'd be placed. If we requested purchasing a mobile unit rather than a fixed unit on one of the three branch trails, I'm sure Omaha would be willing to accommodate that.
Okay.
Mr. Brennan.
I'm familiar with the West Papio Trail. And the star where they're proposing to put it in is probably the least representative of the activity in that area. Because if you look around Lake Zerinsky, there's six parking lots, folks. And that star is not going to pick up the number of people walking around that lake on the little spur off over there. Same way if I went up north to 100 to Pacific Street, you notice it comes up and it zigs to the east. That's up a steep incline and then down. And guess what? There's a parking lot there. There's also two or three soccer fields there. So if you're going to, back to your question about putting in the right place, this star is not the right place to appropriately figure out what the counts are. So this needs to move or do a mobile. I'm just saying that was one of my concerns originally because geographically this is not the best place to do an accurate count, especially if we're talking about re-asphalting, especially if we're trying to get an accurate use, because as soon as you start going north of that 100, the Pacific Street, again, on the West Papio Trail, that number is going to drop off, But then if you keep going, we've got plans to add additional trails up there. What does that mean? I think you were referring to that earlier, weren't you, Larry?
Well,
pathways going up to Cunningham and whatnot. So
that's right.
If they're going to go stationary, I'm going to have to say no. If they're going to look mobile, I'll probably look more friendly to it.
You wanted to respond.
The locations on the map were picked are not final. They are open to whichever would be the appropriate location. And if you have input, we'd be glad to take that and make sure we get it installed where it'd be most useful.
I think we're going to start with round two for all the directors now.
Thank you. I'm just going to try to address some of what some other directors talked about. Director Jeff, the cost, I think that's been talked about, where we're just cost sharing on three of them, and they've already purchased another seven or eight. I did talk to Stephen earlier today by phone, and I talked about the mobile one. Would we be able to place that? He also told me yes, and I even suggested into other communities like Washington County and Sarpy County, because our reach is bigger than that. I would like to find out, and even if we have to table this into next month, and I don't know if that works for the timeline, if the one of those other three that we're buying can be another mobile one, because it does sound like we need more than just one mobile one for what we do. And yeah, what's the cost of those versus the stationary ones? Because the mobile ones, I do think, make the most sense for what we need it for, which is to prioritize projects. I'm in complete agreement with Director Weiss and what Director Bradley was talking about. We're about ready to spend $400,000 for the connector between that SID and dam site 15A. I'm not saying it's not a worthwhile project, but how do we know that that $400,000 can't be better spent on another project to get the best bang for our buck, maybe Lake Cunningham or some other project right now? And at a time where we are getting finished with a lot of our big connectors, we got to focus more on small connectors and trailheads. We're sort of an uncharted trail water, if we will. I mean, the previous boards have done a good job of getting us to where we are with the main trails, but now we need to start thinking smaller trails that get into the neighborhoods, and I think these counters can be a big help to help us save money and not do a project that wasn't needed. To Director Teaser, I wasn't saying that people who voted against us or didn't even bring it up for discussion on Tuesday, because I listened to the podcast even though I wasn't here, that you guys were anti-trail. I get it, because it's the same way I think about some other studies. Take that $15,000 and put it to something else. But a lot of times what we do is we keep it in the budget, and then come August or September, if there's something else that has greater priority and need for that $15,000, then we can make that change in August and September. And my understanding is this $15,000 is already in the budget. Staff has already planned for that. We need to trust staff on that. And if there's another trail project that is about putting trail to dirt, if you will, that needs $15,000 extra, then, yes, I could see us taking money from this and putting it towards laying trail down. But otherwise, I think this is $15,000 potentially help us decades down the road.
You're going to get Thompson and Conley, and back to you, Teaser.
Yeah, I don't see that it's in the budget. It's $15,000. They want it now. Again, this has nothing to do with where we're going to put our trails. Look at the map. There's a lot of dashes on there. That's our plan. It's been that way for a long time. And whether we count how many people use the Field Club Trail, South Omaha Trail, it's not going to affect where we want to put trails. And the data, whether 8, 10, 12 feet wide, 6, 8, 10, 12. I've more than once emphasized we should build 8-foot trails for the expense. At 2 more feet of trail, the cost of concrete and whatever, that extends the cost of it significantly. I don't know if we're going to put a 12-foot trail anywhere. 6-foot, it doesn't meet standards. That's what I'm told, anyway. So this has nothing to do with where we should put our trails. It's $15,000 to bail out the city for putting counters in that some kid's going to whack with a stick. It happened on the Field Club Trail next door. The app, as you may have seen, I was approached by 6 kids who were whacking a stop sign with a stick, and I had to run. Did anyone see the kids? If you're not familiar with next door, it's kind of an instant social media communication way. And I saw these little ET things stepping up. You know, I'm going to take, I'm not going to, but I'm sure kids will take a baseball bat or a stick to them.
But anyways, maintenance doesn't care if the city's in charge of maintenance. They will be. Why the Eric? You know why planning versus public work or parks and rec? What's planning doing here?
Planning is generally more interested in long-range vision than parks is. Parks has some projects that usually next to a recreation area that they are constructing trails, but they don't do a lot of understanding of where future construction could go.
Does Parks and Rec know that they want to put these little ET guys out?
I think so.
I think so. All right. Well, that's the other thing. It's a communication deal with the city. We've always had problems. And I hope to God that Keystone Trail by Maple Street has finally been repaired. There's cracks in there that you can't get your bike in there. Forget it. You're all tipped over. But this does not say where we're going to put our trails. You're going to get approached with some numbers. 500 people use it. 600 people. Oh, we should put trails. No. That's the count for the existing trail, not where the future trail is going to go. And we can look at the subdivision as they grow. That's where we should put a trail. We want people walking, not driving. Counters in South Omaha ain't going to do that. Good common sense and good stewardship of our dollars for that expenditure are going to do it in the future.
Right, Tommy.
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Second, are we calling the question? Is that what we're doing?
We made a motion.
No, that's the reconsideration.
We've already had the reconsideration.
So it's on the table. So your motion to approve.
Approve.
Seconded by Lay.
And then you can have more discussion.
Yeah, George T.
Typically, you'd have a motion to discuss.
I concur with Director Thompson, but we have a very big district here. And we have trails south Sioux City. We have trails being proposed for Washington County up to Missouri. Why would we want to go in with the city to purchase some counters when possibly one mobile counter could help us in our entire district? Hell, City of Omaha is not going to let Valley, Nebraska use their counter to see how much traffic we have in Valley. For example, we get one, a mobile one, and then use it as necessary in the entire district? And as far as, and to Director Leahy, I do want to point out that I do have stuck in my craw the City of Omaha being digged on a $300,000 cost share on a buyout at King Lake. And so it doesn't hurt my feeling when we stick it to them once in a while.
15 for 300, not bad.
15,000.
Yeah.
Stick it to the man.
And so I would actually make that a form of a amended motion that we investigate the purchase of a mobile.
Let's not complicate this any further. Then.
Jim, should we call?
It's fun.
I think that is a grand idea. All right. Roll call on the motion, please.
The motion is to approve staff recommendation by Fred Conley and seconded by Director Leahy.
Yeah.
Staff
recommendation being
to approve.
Please.
Yes.
Thompson.
No.
Caesar?
No.
Leahy?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Arnwald?
No.
John Conway?
No.
Fred Conley?
Hi.
And Bradley?
Yes.
And
no.
Five.
Okay. So I move ahead then.
Yes.
And I'm moving ahead to bids.
I'd like to put this on the agenda for next month. Investigate the purchase of a mobile unit and report back to us how much it's going to cost. And we'll talk about them.
And Director Leahy is a valiant effort, but Director Thompson is still the soapbox king.
Yeah, all right.
Are we done on that item now, Brian?
Yes. We're ready to move on.
Oh,
Okay. Next item, four bids for Little Papio Creek Channel Stabilization Project. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Niehauer Construction in an amount not to exceed $335,470 for the construction of the Little Papio Creek Channel Stabilization Project, subject to change the name necessary by the GM and approval as performed by District Legal Counsel. And I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Condon?
Aye. Okay.
John Condon?
Yes.
Grinwald?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Moving on to item five, Metropolitan Utilities District Water Main Work for Zrinski Basin number two. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute an agreement with MUD for the proposed water main work as part of Zrinski Water Quality Basin number two project in an amount not to exceed $236,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as District Legal Counsel. Point of interest, I will be abstaining because of my prior employment at MUD, but I'm making the motion.
We once again have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this motion? Staff or directors? Director Weiss.
Yeah, I have a problem with the not to exceed $236,000 because are we basically giving them MUD a blank check to go do this? Because the way I see this is I don't know if they can do it cheaper or if they're going to contract this out cheaper. What happens if somebody says, okay, well, we can do this for $182,000?
If the amount to conduct the work is less than $236,000, we will get a refund.
Okay, so if the project is going to be X amount of dollars, but not to exceed, because I was under the understanding that if it went over or whatever, we still have to pay
that. That is correct.
Well, that's why this says not to exceed, so you don't pay any more. That should stop right there.
Amanda?
Director Reese, the intent, we do have to pay more if it is more, but we would bring that back to the board to let you know if the work, the estimates that they get for the
How does that work?
So they're
when I bid jobs with my business, if I give him a not to exceed and it goes over $20,000, I eat it.
So working with MUD, you know, they have a permanent easement that allows that water main to be where it is, and our project is impacting it. So we don't really, you know, we can't choose a contractor. I mean, that's their right to choose who they want to do it. They schedule the work, and then they charge us the actual cost.
The $200 is their estimate of what they think the work will cost. Right. They don't think they've solicited any bids.
Then they should not put a not-to-exceed number in there.
Well, we did that in order. In case it was more, then we would come back for your approval.
Okay, what if we say no?
Well, then we go to court, I guess, with MUD, because I'm sure they'll sue us for it.
Yeah, that's why I say we need a clarification, because
more or less a budget.
This is open-ended.
No,
it's set at $236,000. That's their estimate, and they have a 6-month lead time to get the contractor on board to do the work. Mm-hmm. So when they have a more finalized number, an actual bid from that contractor, we'll get notified of that. We can present that to the board. If it's more than this board wants to spend, let's say it's $350,000, you know, we could just not do that work. It impacts the Zrinski mm-hmm. Basin 2 project. But that's the decision of the board.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's going to come back for another vote after the bids?
Only if it's more than $230,000.
Okay. Yes, that's why I said not to exceed.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Abstain.
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. And I believe Director Peter did have a comment, so I'm going to jump back.
Isn't it interesting? We just spent $500,000 in 5 minutes, and we could have spent $15,000
and $35,000. That's the way we do it.
That's moving right along, item 6. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with the City of Blair, Nebraska for California Band Restoration Public Access, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Grunewald?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keezer?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes.
That completes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 9B, Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Be it resolved, minutes of the June 6, 2017 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Accounts over 110%, Elk Pigeon Creek equipment rental, recommendation that account 17010004475 equipment rental be allowed to exceed 110% of the budget amount with a maximum not to exceed of $175,000 without further board approval, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Please?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Grunewald?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keezer?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes.
That concludes my report, Mrs. Chair.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Moving on to Agenda Item 10, the Treasurer's Report. Once again, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Treasurer's Report consists of the two resolutions that are shown on the board and the Items 10A through 10I inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second. We have a second from Director Thompson. Any discussion from the public on this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Grunewald?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keezer?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 11 is a legal update. As I understand, there is no update this evening. So we'll move along to the chairperson's report, agenda item number 12. I guess I want to start off by thinking General Manager John Winkler for the work he's done down the legislature this last session to help protect the funds with all the budget cuts that were taking place, and your efforts are greatly appreciated. In addition to the efforts of Hush Blackwell to make sure that those very valuable resources are still with us. Secondly, I did have the great opportunity to go to the National Security Forum at the Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama last month, and which was an incredible experience. I've had the opportunity in my career to spend a decent amount of time with executive level people in the private sector, CEOs, CFOs, and I would have to say that the people that I met down there blow everybody away. The level of professionalism, knowledge, and just drive at what they were doing and belief in what they were doing was just absolutely amazing. The host that I was paired up with was in the Army, he's an Army Ranger. He's an airborne. He's got a family and just an all-around great person, and he's there for the right reasons. And it makes me feel pretty good that we have people like that working on our side. They're just very intelligent, very well-spoken, and the issues that they're having to deal with are absolutely incredible, and their professionalism is amazing. There were attempts throughout the forum to people were asking questions to try to politicize it, and it was wonderful the way that they didn't. And I love the fact it's maybe sad commentary in the public when people's heads start exploding because the president sends out a tweet. Those things happen, but then you look at this group of people that are actually having to deal with the ramifications of the decisions of those people. And they're handling it very professionally and very in an incredible manner that It was very, very inspiring. Just a few of the points. There were so many things that we talked about, but there were some themes that really kind of played through. And the things that we do here at the district as well from a leadership perspective about cooperation. And one of the quotes is, cooperation is the greatest part of the human spirit. And the work that we do in our interlocal agreements, trying to offer the best things that we can for the funds that we have. And then designing strategies to solve multiple problems with one action. Again, that's something where we try to look at the big picture and get the best out of what we're doing. I was talking about looking forward. They were talking about looking forward into cyber. You know, what do we want to do by 2030 and how are we going to handle it? Obviously, the district doesn't have to worry about that, but, you know, we have the long view here, and we have the engineers that have been here a long time that are looking out for us, which is wonderful. And another very interesting thing that one of the generals had mentioned, what he had compared the Air Force to a light switch, and it sounds ridiculous at first, but he was talking about how when you walk in a room, you flip the switch and the light goes on. You don't know how it works, but it does, just like your cell phone sending texts. You just assume that it's always going to be there, and you assume that you take it for granted after a while. And that is something you said, that the military and the way that they are used, they are not always the answer. But politically, oftentimes, it's very easy for those in power to say they are the answer. And there's a concern from their perspective that they're, you know, it's very easy to take them for granted because they are always there and they're taking along a lot more responsibility than maybe they were initially intended. And I think you can compare that to local police departments, where police departments aren't intended to be parents of neighborhoods. They're there for a reason. And so it was very interesting getting that perspective to suggest that the people that are in charge of these fighting forces were there saying that the only time they should be used is if all other avenues of diplomacy have failed. And unfortunately, they are kind of seen as the easy button, and they can be taken for granted. And I think, especially with as few people are in the military, population-wise at this point, it's pretty easy for the general public just to take them for granted. So it's very important to, as he said, we want to make sure that people do realize what we're doing and the sacrifices that are being made. The host that I got to pair up with had been on 10 deployments, and he has kids. One of his sons just graduated from high school, and he missed 3 Christmases in a row with his kids. So the sacrifices are just absolutely tremendous that they're putting out there. One of the last comments was that it takes human beings a crisis to understand where we're at and what's important. And unfortunately, that's the case. I think that falls back into the kind of taking things for granted. We look back at, and I'll stop pontificating in a moment, but you look back like at the Dust Bowl, and it's something to where, you know, the NRD ultimately came out of some programs that were put into place by Roosevelt trying to improve that and improve the economy during the Depression. And it's something that nobody's really had to, most people don't even think about at this point, because there are people like the professionals of this room that take care of those things. So hopefully we never have to deal with the crisis, because the things, the way that the people in this room are taking care of things and the way that the military is, hopefully we'll never see tremendous problems on our soil. But I want to thank John Winkler for nominating me. It was an incredible experience. It was 3 days. It was 3 very long days, but I wish they were longer, and I wish you could have been there for more days, because I love when I walk in a room. When I walk out of a room, I walk in out smarter than when I walked in, and that happened every single room that I walked into down there. It was incredible and very inspirational. So that's what I'll say about that. It was a pretty incredible experience. And I guess one last quick segue is, I can't believe we're saying this before our next board meeting will be after the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Having that experience and realizing the sacrifices that are made and what our country was based upon, how we were formed, what we stand for today, on the 4th of July, please remember those things, and certainly the people that ensure that we're able to celebrate 4th of July year after year after year. With that, I will turn it over to John Winkler for the general manager's report.
Did you feel like when you come out of board meetings?
tonight is kind of the opposite.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The information education report for May is attached for your review. First on miscellaneous items, we did receive a thank you card from Bennington High School's Outdoor Club for our donation to their special needs student fishing clinic. And that was held on April 29th, and the card's attached. A couple personnel items. Emma Edgar, as you know, retired in May. We have named a new public relations education coordinator, Jennifer Stouse. She's been hired by the district. Her first day will be Monday, June 12th. She earned her bachelor's degree from Nebraska Wesleyan University and master's degree in journalism from UNL. She has a vast amount of experience in not only public but private public relations, broadcast, journalism, social media. So we look forward to having her and her ideas on the team. And so we will introduce her personally in July to the board. Also, the Washington County Rural Water System hired Kurt Scott to assume the position of George Tillich, who retired. His first day of employment will also be Monday, June 12th, so a busy Monday. Kurt has a background working for utility service groups and comes to us with the highest of recommendations, and we look forward to having Kurt on the team as well. Also attached is report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal property for May, and as well as the current and ongoing projects with the district legal counsel. The May partnership meeting was canceled. The next one's June 22nd at 10 a.m. here at the NRC. If you notice, the e-bicycle station is locked and loaded with bikes. We actually had our first rider today, according to Eric, so it's already been in use. We're also working on incorporating that into our employee wellness program, having those available here on site, so we'll have more information on that. One other item, Mr. Teaser asked me to give him a brief summary of the Lower Platte Watershed Aquatic Ecosystem Restoration. That was identified in the lobbying report I sent from our federal government relations folks and why we're attempting to gain that. And I've got a 4-page fact sheet from the Corps that I can send, but I'll give you just their brief summary, Rich, in 1 minute or less. The study presents an opportunity to develop a comprehensive plan that could be used by local jurisdictions as well as the state of Nebraska to guide ongoing and future development that supports critical social and economic values in a sustainable manner while simultaneously restoring habitat and floodplain connectivity, wetlands, etc. But I'll send you the full report for more.
Well, I can still catch cattle first.
Just don't tell anybody. Yeah. But I'll send this out because it is.
Say one last thing. On behalf of the board and the staff of Dave, I just want to congratulate you on your marriage.
Thank you.
Recent marriage. And I will give you a little bit of advice. Don't do what I did today. Tomorrow is my 45th. I forgot to send her a card. I forgot to get her a present. So, ladies, what can I get my wife for 45 years at Walmart?
Good luck,
Chris. Congratulations,
Dave, on your recent marriage, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, John. With that, just informational items with the next. Rex Johnson.
On the informational items, June 20th, the Natural Resource Commission is meeting in Kearney. I don't expect the meeting to last more than an hour and a half. But housekeeping items, nothing. We're not going to spend any money, as far as I know.
Thank you. All right, with that, the next board meeting will be July 13th. Along those lines, I hope everybody has a very happy and safe 4th of July, and we'll see you then.